Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, I do want to talk about the Garda Síochána stopping people going to the airport over the weekend. When I say stopping people for unnecessary journeys and fining them. Now, of course, if you go back in time to October, Ryanair took a case against the Irish state, obviously because of the decline in business, saying that the Irish state were restricting people in leaving the country. And the state argued, no, we're actually not, because the Department of Foreign Affairs say, although we advise you not to travel, and that is the government advice, that you should not travel for an unnecessary journey, there is no actual law against it. Yet, on Garda Síochána have taken it upon themselves to be at Dublin Airport, setting up checkpoints, stopping people. Now, we'll get to that in a few minutes and I'll talk a bit more about it, but I want to know, you know, the Gardaí have handed out fines, 711 fines, 200 more are being processed, on the spot fines for not wearing masks and for drivers and walkers travelling outside the 5k, obviously the 5k distance that you're allowed to walk or run or whatever it is you want to do, anyway, since the fine came in the week before last. So they are handing out the fines. Now, I'm a little bit unsure of the legislation, as everybody is, by the way, because even during that particular court case, the government were criticised for bringing out confusing messages and confusing legislation. People really don't know what they're actually being fined for. When you get stopped by a Garda Síochána in your car and he says, where are you going? You say, well, I'm going to the shop. Or they say, and they say, well, that's not a necessary journey. Here's a, you know, 100 euro fine. What's it actually for? Is it for breaking the 5K? Or is it for not obeying the orders of a Garda Síochána and turning around if they ask you to go home? And are they actually giving you that chance? Maybe you've got a fine over the weekend. Let us know. Did the guards actually say to you, well, listen, you can't do this. Can you go home? And you went, no, I'm not going home. It's worse than... Okay, fine. There you go. So, I mean, was it for disobeying the orders of Garda Síochána, or is the fine for actually in breach of the health regulations? Because there is questions being asked about the legality of some of the fines, but that's, I suppose, for the future and for somebody to have a look at the High Court in relation to that. But in relation to what we're talking about, the company claimed, Ryanair claimed, the restrictions were unconstitutional and breached various health acts, the European Convention of Human Rights and the European Charter of Fundamental Rights. It said the government's travel measures were outrageous, confusing and detrimental to both public and its business. But the state argued Ryanair had no legal basis to bring its challenge against the measures, that the courts could not intervene with this advice, and that the airline's proceedings were moot and pointless because they stated that the state claimed, they disputed the claims, arguing the measures are merely advisory and not binding in law in nature. So if they're not binding in law in nature, why are the Garda Síochána up at Dublin Airport? Or other airports possibly, I only know about Dublin. Let me know, maybe you were stopped, and let me know what you think. And maybe things have changed since then. I don't know if they have. Maybe Ryanair have a case to go back to court again. But the question I want to simply ask you is, you know, international travel, for example, there are countries like Gibraltar, Malta, Cyprus, Montenegro, Greece, and many other countries have a lot lower cases than Ireland, and you've probably less chance of catching COVID-19. And yes, there is a government advice that you shouldn't travel, but many people have gone ahead and made their choice to book their holidays. Do you think it's irresponsible to go away on a holiday at the moment? Now, making sure, of course, that you have all the checks and balances, that, you know, you have your negative test, etc., etc., etc. Is it irresponsible to go away on holidays? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. The question I'm asking today is it irresponsible to leave the country at the moment for a holiday? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Now, let me just, if I can first, I want to go to Eita. Eita, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Eita?
Hello, hi.
Eita, now you had a little bit of a fiasco. What happened to you?
Well, last Monday morning, I came to Lufthansa, the Frankfurt airport, Lufthansa, flying out of Germany. And I didn't have a COVID test because I had booked my ticket 2 weeks previous, and the apparently restrictions changed on the Saturday, 16th of January. And I did not receive anything at all from Lufthansa or anything, but you are to look on the government website. But I did ring the doctor, and he said that I wouldn't have had time anyway. To 72 hours, you're supposed to have the test done and everything by the time I flew. There's no way I would have had that time.
It wouldn't have been feasible for you to do that. Okay.
No.
Okay.
So came, and he was there, dropped off 5 o'clock in the morning, blah, blah. They came, opened the gate, 6 o'clock, 20 past 6, and next thing, I was completely stopped in my tracks. And I said, I'm an Irish citizen. I need to get home. No, 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 you're not. The restrictions changed. And I said, who the restrictions changed by? Your Irish government. Well, then let me be dealt with. with the Irish government then, and let me think. No, 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 no. Absolutely refuse me blankly. Would not let me
onto the
flight.
So they wouldn't let you onto the flight?
No, no way. Well, okay. So okay. I spent, there was one other guy along with me who wasn't Irish. Anyway, that was fine. Spent the whole day in Frankfurt Airport waiting to have to get tests and this, that and the other. Also,
How much do they charge you for the test in Frankfurt?
€150.
Okay, and how long does it take to get the results?
Well, it took about 6 to 7, 8 hours.
Okay, all right.
By the time you get there, by the time I found the test centre, by the time I did this,
I
was completely shocked. I was up since 3:30. I was completely...
I know that feeling when you just can't think straight anymore. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway, went, got my test done all the paraphernalia, fine, correct.
I'm assuming it was negative, yeah.
It was negative, absolutely. Yeah. So came with my little printout the next day, blah, blah. Oh, I had to pay €560 for a flight home the next day.
Oh, because obviously you couldn't get on the flight because they considered it not to be their fault, you had to pay for another flight.
Right.
Okay,
that's
all right.
Right.
Who was that with, by the way? Ryanair, was it? No,
no, Lufthansa.
Lufthansa, sorry, I do apologize.
Both times Lufthansa.
Okay.
So that was fine. Came to the airport the next day, sat, waited for the gate to open, blah, blah. Did, everything was fine. And the guys came along, one girl behind the desk and the other two had a podium out by the queue of people. That was fine. Now, trust me when I'd say there was about 3 Irish on this flight in total. And the rest were complete foreigners. Romanian, Croatian, Indian, Pakistani, Iranians. Trust me, loads of kids. They were all there. That's fine. We're all entitled to travel. So, I sat there and I left half of these people go through because I had my case already pre-booked anyway underneath in the baggage. That's fine. So I was there listening and I just had a very funny feeling. And why God, was I correct? Came to my turn. He asked me my passport and he asked me.
This is Irish. Okay, just to clarify, this is Irish immigration we're now at.
This is, no.
Oh, no. We're still in Frankfurt.
We're still in Germany.
Okay. So, sorry, come on. You confused me just a little bit there, Rita.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Okay.
Came through. Because this is my second flight. Came through with my little passport and my boarding card, and that was fine.
And your negative test.
That's good. And my neck. Oh, no. No.
They did not ask me. They didn't ask you first.
They never asked me for a negative test. They never even mentioned COVID. Nothing. They left half a flight, go through, because I've sat there purposely, and I watched. And not one person.
So why do you think you were asked the first time if nobody, it's just a matter of whoever the staff member happened to be or something?
Well, you asked, you tell me.
Oh, well,
the
that doesn't make any sense. No. It's either policy or it's not policy, but go on anyway.
Yeah.
So you'd imagine so.
When I looked at your man and I said, well, you're needing anything else? And he said, well, what would I be needing else from you, ma'am? And I said, maybe a COVID test?
Sorry to laugh, Ita, but I'm actually watching you and your man now in my head.
Yeah. And he looked at me and was like, go up to your woman there. Go to that lady up there. So I did.
Oh,
She completely got it. She understood.
Yeah.
When she looked up the website and she said, you're right, it did change on Saturday the 16th. And she
didn't go back in and kick everyone off the plane again, did they?
No, they did not. In fact, they let the rest of them in there too.
Right, with no COVID tests.
And your man came up to me and after and he says, look, he said, do you see all them people? Now, I am not telling you any word of a lie.
No, I'd be looking for me money back here, but go on.
Do you see them people standing over there? He said, do you know these? He pointed out Indians, there are a lot of people with kids and all that. And he said, do you honestly think they can afford a COVID test?
Right.
I looked at him stupid and I said, and you think.
Well, that was
a bit
judgmental of him, mind you, but however, yeah. I get the point he was making. So it seems to be a case of whichever staff members were on. It's not actually, well, it's meant to be policy, yeah.
It shouldn't have been. So then, now we get on to Dublin.
This is where the fun starts, yeah.
This is where the fun starts.
Right, so you arrive in Dublin.
Yeah,
and the pilot does the whole, welcome to Dublin Airport. Welcome to Ireland.
Came to the immigration.
Yeah.
And got through. There's a lot of people went through before me, blah, blah. Few were turned back because of a locator form.
Right, okay.
So came up to your woman and I gave her my passport. She said, have you got your locator form? I said, I've done it online. She said, well, can I see it? I said, absolutely.
What's a locator form?
the locator form that you have to sign, you have to do it every time you come to an airport, that to where your location and where you're going to be residing for 2 weeks.
Oh, right, okay.
So gave her that, blah, blah. So anyway, I looked at her and she says, that's fine. And I said, you're not looking for anything else off me. And she said, well, what would I be requiring you from you, madam? More. And maybe a COVID test.
Is she a sister of the brother of the guy in Frankfurt now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I said, a COVID test possibly?
That I just paid 150 quid and wasted 500 quid on a flight for. Yeah, go on.
Screaming out at the other day. Oh, it cost me 800 euro that day.
Yeah.
800 euro in all. Taxis, hotels, you got it.
Mm.
That's what it cost me. And anyway, she looked at me and she said, go out there now, she said, and say something to that guard. That poor old guard looked so done in that I just said, I watched people coming through as I stood on the stairs and I said, you know what? I was too tired. I was too stunned. I was too shocked. I was too traumatized to even stand there again. I mean,
I do want to acknowledge, although you noticed that many people you believe weren't Irish, many of those people could have been Irish. They may not just be, you know, Indigenous Irish, is the point about Jamaica. Yeah, but I'm just saying, they might have had an Irish passport. You don't know.
Oh, they did. No.
I'm just covering myself here, Edie. You know what I mean? I don't want someone giving out to me.
But, excuse me, after my experience, I saw the passport. And a lot of them weren't Irish.
Okay.
And you know what? Because I was talking to a few
of them. Let's not focus too much on that aspect of it.
Do you know where they're going? They were going over to work in meat factories.
Oh, well, Dan, did you talk to everyone? They weren't all going to work in meat factories, I'm assuming, Edie. Watch your language, will you? Easy, you're losing the reason there now. Okay, but I want to get back to the original part of the story, and the main crux of the story here is that it didn't seem to be policy, depended on what staff member was in Frankfurt, but when it came to Dublin Airport, what surprised you more was, because it was policy and is meant to be policy in Dublin Airport, you weren't even asked for the COVID test you paid 150 quid for.
Yeah,
you weren't even asked for it.
They weren't.
Now, mind you, can I just point out, you're the second person to tell us that in the last 7 days. We had somebody on last week, something similar, with a similar experience. So, and who didn't have to produce their COVID test, even though they went to the trouble of paying for it. So, and that other person was exiting Ireland at the time, by the way, exiting Ireland. And
there you go. But I tell you this, can I point this one out, Neil, to you?
Mm.
I will give it, Germans were wrong, because my husband is German, and he wronged the Germans. He was absolutely livid. And he rung them. And they absolutely, in no way, shape or form, should have stopped me that morning. They're investigating now what happened over there.
Well, if the policy was brought in quickly, there should have been a period of time, you know, a weaning in period for those who had already booked a flight or were on their way to the airport or whatever it happened to be. Yes, of course.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, of course.
The thing is that my point is that where was the Irish government in all this? Where was our test centre in Dublin that these people were told, okay, when I made the point of it that morning and on the Tuesday morning when they were all left go free, and I said to him, well, he says, they'll get it done in Dublin. Now, I came over waiting and expecting people to be brought to a test centre like I was done in Frankfurt. There was nothing. There wasn't. I saw one guard.
So what you're essentially saying, it seemed to you to be like a bit of a free-for-all.
It was absolutely the most ridiculous scenario I've ever come across in all my life. Why can't Ireland do it like the Germans did? They were wrong to stop me because I was an Irish citizen, but they were right. They were absolutely,
because it was their own policy. Yes,
correct. No, they were correct on demanding a COVID test. I came through on a flight that in the end that wasn't COVID free, but that if why can't
no, we
Ireland,
don't know that
why
yeah, yeah.
can't well why cannot Ireland do this? Why cannot Dublin do this? Why do they turf out these restrictions? And next thing, everything is in chaos. But the Germans got it right. If they did what the Germans did on Monday morning to me and say no, and to anybody else that came up with no COVID test, they said no. Sorry.
Well, I'm looking at the news here today, if it helps you in any way, that they're deciding today that anybody who arrives in Ireland now, from today, without a COVID test, the Cabinet are discussing it today, will now have to pay to stay in a supervised hotel. And they're discussing now that these hotels are quarantine centres, as they're calling them, will have security on them to stop people leaving for 14 days.
And
I'll see it when I believe it when I see it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I believe it when I see it. Yeah. And also, they said a whole year of people travelling in and out, and people are right. Now, don't say I was over on holiday. I was not. I am not on holiday.
Yeah, what were you doing? People are going to ask me now. What were you doing in Frankfurt?
I have a husband over there.
All right, okay.
And my marriage is important to me, and I hadn't seen him in months.
Well, that's fine. No, I would consider that to be a necessary journey to see your husband.
And it was necessary to me because there is going to be life after COVID.
Of course there is. And your relationship is important for your mental health. I wouldn't disagree with that.
Absolutely. And I have a terminally ill son here.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, by the way.
Yeah, and I try to explain...
What's wrong with your poor son?
I can't say that now over.
Okay, all right, okay. Well, I know you said he's terminally ill, but I hope he has, I hope he's feeling okay, and I hope he's healthy point.
Well, that's why I kind of tore back again, you see. I just kind of quick for me.
Okay. Well, listen, Eita, I could talk to you all day because you talk a million miles a minute and you're a wonderful speaker. But listen, thank you very much. I think you've certainly put across your story very well. And I think absolutely you're 100% right. There's no point in you having a COVID test if nobody's going to ask you for the bloody thing. And there's no point in us having COVID tests if we can just let people willy-nilly enter the airport and they can wander all over the country. I get the point you're making. Eita, thank you very much. Have a good day, Eita.
Okay, then.
Have a good day. Thanks very much indeed. It's wonderful talking to you. See you. Bye. Okay, now. Well, there you go. Eita's kind of summed it up there. But I think that's going to change, to be honest with you, because as I said today, the Cabinet are discussing these new quarantine hotels, which will more than likely be protected by security guards. In other words, you won't be allowed to leave. It'll be like Hotel California. You know, you'll check in, but you'll never leave. And if you arrive in Ireland without a negative COVID test, be you Irish or be you foreign, you will have to stay in one of these hotels. And you can also get a fine of up to €2,500 or 6 months in prison for not having a COVID test. Now, and of course, the human rights people will obviously have to have their say in whether there will be legalities involved in locking people up in a hotel. Essentially, you're, I suppose, imprisoning people, you know, Irish citizens. Now, you could say it's under the guise of public health, but I'm sure the human rights people will look into this and see how legal that is. Now, let me get back to going on holidays. So, as you know, the Department of Foreign Affairs is advising you, strict advisory, that you should not leave the country and go on holidays. That's the advice. That is not legally binding, according to them, the state themselves, in the courts with Ryanair in October. That is not legally binding. That is just advice. The state said, the state disputed the claims, argued that the measures are merely advisory and not of a binding in nature. But yet, Garda Síochána are saying it's unnecessary and stopping people at Dublin Airport and giving people fines. So, who's right and who's wrong? And would you go away on holidays? Is it actually irresponsible to go away on holidays? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. John, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, John?
How you doing, Al?
John, is it irresponsible to go away on holidays when the government are telling you, listen, we don't want you to go? Now, there are countries that have lower levels and cases than us, so they're probably safer places to be honest with you. But there are countries that have higher levels as well. So is it irresponsible to go away on holidays?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because people have been locked down long enough and they're sick of it at this stage. And the fact that the government, NEFA and the HSE now are fining people and the police now are fining people.
But they're stopping people from going, as far as I know. Yeah, they're actually turning people around.
Yeah, and fining them. The government, NEFA, the HSE and the police are now fining people for just going about their daily business is unconstitutional. And quite frankly...
Their argument is they're not fining people for going around the daily business. They're fining people for going outside their 5 kilometre having a reason or a good reason to do so.
Well, no, you said there earlier on that they'll fine people for not wearing masks and all
that.
That's
right, yeah. 700 in the last week and a half. Well, it was about a week and a half since they brought in these fines, the on-the-spot fines. The Gardaí have handed out 711 fines and 200 more are now in the process going to the DPP of on-the-spot fines for not wearing masks and drivers and walkers for travelling outside the 5K.
That's the point. I mean, people's rights and civil rights are being eroded. You spoke about their civil liberty there weighing in on this. Civil liberties are doing nothing. They're sitting back and letting the government take away everybody's rights, and they're not doing a single thing. In fact, the civil liberties of this country need to stop and just go away and get somebody in there who will take on the government. Because the government are quite frankly saying, right, we'll tell you how to live from this point on. You don't have to think anymore. We're going to take over your whole living.
But they're basically saying your civil liberties are not as important as public health. That's more or less what they're saying.
But your civil liberties now are important, and you're a man who'd know more about this than I would. But the fact of the matter, these people are more or less saying to you now, your civil liberties don't matter anymore. What we say is what goes. And quite frankly, this is unconstitutional. And this government now needs
We need to probably check with a barrister. I must actually try and check, find out myself. Because at the time of the Ryanair case against the Irish state back in October, Ryanair, who I'm sure probably have the best barristers in the country because they can well afford it. At the time, they certainly could. Maybe they can't afford it now. The company claimed the restrictions, this is in relation to people leaving the country, by the way, not in relation to 5Ks or anything else. The restrictions were unconstitutional and breached various health acts, the European Convention of Human Rights and the European Charter of Fundamental Rights. But the government said at the time that that was an outrageous claim to make, as the state is not stopping people basically leaving the country and it's merely advice. So if it's merely advice, why are the guards stopping people?
Well, here's the point, Niall.
At Dublin Airport, I'm talking about.
Obviously. Yeah, but here's the point, Niall. I mean, here's the legal point of all this. I mean, the government now are looking for this zero COVID bullshit that they're going on at the moment.
Well, some people believe COVID. It's a good theory. I don't buy it, but yeah.
You can't go. Look, we all know that in order for the body to get immune to something, it has to be exposed to whether it's the coronavirus.
Yeah, but if you're somebody who's elderly or with underlying symptoms, you'd rather not do that as well, John. That would be the case for a lot of people, all right.
No, you can protect them as they're doing already with the vaccine. And look, they're not even rolling out the vaccine. This vaccine should be rolled out a lot quicker.
Well, as you or may not have heard, there's problems now, of course, with the vaccine that we're seeing Germany order stock loads of it, outside of the EU recommendations of the EU rationing, I suppose, of the virus. And then you have the new virus, the Oxford virus as well, or the that one there now has been bought up by the British government, who we believe have paid five times what it was originally priced at. So it seems that when it comes to these particular vaccines, you know, the vaccine has been given out to the highest bidders.
Yeah,
which is very unfair, by the way, in very poor countries.
But that's the problem. That's the problem, Niall. I mean, this government now are dragging the heels of everything. And they're more or less saying to people, look, we're going to keep this lockdown until there's zero infection in this country. That's madness. And at the end of the day, this government needs to be put out of power and somebody take over the reins who are not mentally.
Okay, but getting back to going on holidays, if you got the opportunity tomorrow to go to, say, okay, Cyprus has a low number of cases, Gibraltar, Malta, Montenegro, Greece, they're all reasonably low numbers. If you had a possibility of going to one of these countries tomorrow on holidays, would you go?
Yeah, because it's my human right to go. And whether the government...
And what do you say to people who say, you're being irresponsible, John, the government are advising people not to be going on holidays, you know, you're just being irresponsible?
The minority of people out there who want everybody to, you know, stick with these restrictions and lockdowns forevermore, I don't give a toss about them because I'm sick listening to them and I'm sick of them pushing their, you know, their opinion on everybody else. Oh, you should do as we say. And if the government says this, you should jump so high and say, how high should I jump? Look, Niall, we can't have this lockdown of society forever. Forevermore. We have the vaccines there. Let's roll around.
Well, the government are saying it won't be forevermore, but they are predicting that there will be restrictions for the next at least 6 months.
I'll tell you now, this is going to go on another year because the government are dragging the heel on everything.
And okay, well, hang on, because I have to go to break. Stay there, John. Now, John believes it's going to go on forever, the government dragging their heels, and for that reason, he'd be quite happy to go on holidays. Doesn't believe it's irresponsible at all. It is government advice. It's not illegal. By the way, it's not illegal to travel outside of this country, can I point out to you. According to the government, it's government advice. And it is a very strong advisory. They're asking you not to go on holidays or not to go away. So I want to hear from anybody who may have been stopped at Dublin Airport over the weekend. The Garda Síochána are stopping people for travelling outside of their 5K and also for an unnecessary journey. And the Garda Síochána tweeted about that, by the way. They tweeted that they would be there and they're doing this there for people who are travelling unnecessary journeys, not just within Ireland, but internationally as well. So I want to know, was anybody actually turned away? I mean, I'm assuming they did. I'm assuming they stopped cars. I believe they were even stopping taxis and asking people in the taxis where they were going. They did dish out a lot of fines. And I'm assuming they turned people around who were going on holidays and not allowing them leave the country. To me, that sounds unconstitutional. I could be wrong. Maybe somebody with a legal mind is listening. To me, it sounds completely unconstitutional, considering there's no legal ban on leaving the country. There's an advice that you shouldn't leave the country, but there's no legal ban on it. I'd be interested to see what Simon Coveney has to say about that. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Is it irresponsible to go away on holidays? Yeah, well, certainly over the next 6 months or so, that advisory is definitely going to stay there. So between now and probably August, realistically, you're not going away on holidays. Unless you choose to do so and you manage to not get stopped by the guards. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. Number is 087-188-0008. Some of the texts coming in, lad, you'd need a holiday after all this nonsense over the last year. You probably certainly would, all right. I wouldn't mind a holiday myself. But then again, the government are giving travel advice that you're not to leave the country. But as I mentioned already, in October, the state argued that there was no legal basis for Ryanair's challenge in court because it said that the courts could not intervene with this advice and that the airline's proceedings were moot and pointless because they said the state disputed the claims, arguing the measures are merely advisory and not binding in nature or law. So it seems they're not binding in nature or law, but I suppose they are binding in nature and law, and because there's now a threat against you, a legal threat, by an Garda Síochána if you do try to travel outside the country. But Grace, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Grace?
Hi.
It's quite complicated and confusing from a legal point of view, Grace. I don't believe the Garda Síochána are fining people for leaving the country, but fining them for disobeying the orders of an Garda Síochána. So, but is it irresponsible to even want to go?
Well, this is the point at the end of the day. I can't get over the selfishness of some people in this country.
Why is it selfish? Why is it selfish to want your human rights? Why is that selfish?
That's not right. The human right is to stay healthy. It's to stay alive. It's to be looked after of our elected government. That's our human right.
Yeah, but we all have different views on how our country should be run. That's democracy.
Well,
isn't
that's why we have a government.
Yeah,
and the government at the moment, via the science, has told us that it is dangerous. We cannot look after
you. They have told you that, and they've advised you not to, but they haven't brought in a law saying you can't. Because they can't bring in that law, because that law would be probably unconstitutional.
No, it can't be unconstitutional. This is the whole basis, this misleading, unconstitutional aspect. Constitution is based on legislation. In other words, legislation has to follow the rights of the Constitution. So the government, the Constitution...
I know, in 1937, under the Public Health Act, there was a line put into the Constitution in relation to public health. And I get that, that was to do with TB at the time, right? But I don't think they would have had anything there about leaving the country.
That's the preamble of the whole thing. The point is, at the end of the day, your right to assemble, you have a right to free speech, you have a right to travel, you have all those rights. But legislation follows those rights. In other words, the government of the day puts legislation...
But legislation can contravene those rights.
That's what I'm saying. The government of the day puts legislation into action, protecting that constitutional
Okay, I get that. Now, and at the moment, there is no law says you cannot leave the country, right? There's a government advice on the Department of Foreign Affairs website. They're advising us, strict advice, not to leave the country or not to go away on unnecessary journeys outside the country. They can't really ban it because it would be bad for the economy. And there are people who have to leave the country for whatever reason, back and forward for work or whatever it is. But John is saying, you know, he would like to go on holidays tomorrow if he could afford it or wanted to go. And you're saying he's being selfish.
Yes, he is being selfish. There's a pandemic in this country at the moment. People are dying.
Hang on, John.
If the government's job under obligation, all democratic countries have a right to protect the common good. And the common good is the health of the people. There's no point in having ill people in our society.
But they'll always be ill people.
And the government do.
But there'll always be ill people in society.
Yeah, but we pay taxes for the government to look after us. Now, you know me, I would be a kind of an antichrist one way or another. But the point is, at the end of the day, we have to follow.
I'm surprised, Grace, because I've listened to you over the last 5 years, and this is the first time, and please don't take this as a personal insult, but that I listen to your opinion being somewhat subservient.
It is subservient because of the necessity.
But you've never been like that before. I've never heard you speak like that before.
The thing is, this issue didn't come up before. The importance of this issue is the common good. If John Doe or Mary Jane...
Well, John is there, yeah. Well, let John Doe respond to you there. John, you're being selfish. It's for the common good, and you've everybody else to think about, not just yourself.
Niall, I couldn't give a toss for her opinion, because I'll tell you what.
Well, I can hear that, let's not be rude to each other, okay?
No, I'm not going to be rude. Okay. I know you have your policy there and all the rest of it. The fact of the matter is, Niall, and your caller there, the fact is, your human rights supersede this nonsense that this government is going on with at the moment. My right to live a normal human life is being superseded by this bullying of the Irish government, NEFA and HSA and police, shutting my life down and many other people's lives down. As for Grace, I don't care. If she wants to follow the rules, follow the rules. But don't impose them rules on me and other people who don't believe in them.
I don't believe in this pandemic. I don't impose them on you. I give my point of view.
The way you spoke there.
Well, I mean, the point, and somebody texted in already and said to me, we're being conditioned to view our constitutional freedoms as being selfish. Case in point. Yep, in other words, exactly. you've just said that we're viewing our constitutional freedoms, the freedoms that the men and women, I suppose, of this country many years ago fought for, those freedoms that human beings have fought for throughout the world, we're now viewing them as being selfish.
No, we're not. We're going all astray here. The point is, at the end of the day, the Constitution stands as a basis for legislation, and the government of the day are governed and obligated to look after the common good. It's a completely saying things about unconstitutional.
Well, people argue about the common good. When we talk about the common good, I'm not going to get into a whole COVID-19 debate today, but there are many doctors and scientists around the world who have different views on it. Only a study there a week and a half ago suggested that lockdowns actually serve little or no purpose, that countries with very strict lockdowns have fared off worse than countries that had lighter ones.
But the point
I'm making is that we're trusting a government and we're basing this on our government's opinion and our government's view of what should be done to protect public health, where not everybody has the same view.
Of course, that's the whole reason for the constitutional right to decide. The problem is you're entitled to your opinion.
But is the Constitution not there to protect us against governments?
Exactly.
Erroneous governments, maybe in some cases.
And the legislation is in place to protect that Constitution and you as member of the common good, as it is in every democracy. My point is, at the end of the day, those doctors and consultants can have different views and opinions. Our Constitution and the Constitution of the Western world allows them those opinions.
Okay,
but the government of the day must, Sarkistan must, are obligated under oath to observe the nature
But is public health not just about physical health, mental health and social health? The WHO actually described it as that once. At the moment, we're very much focused on physical health, which is in relation to COVID-19. But I mean, there's a text in there. Somebody says, I recently went away on holidays with my 7-year-old son and my 8-year-old daughter with my husband. And the reason we did it was for our own mental health. We needed a break after everything we'd been through the year. So I do believe it was a necessary journey.
Yes, and that obliges that person to form a degree of conscience.
Is that not a fair point? It's a necessary journey, they stated, because of their mental health.
Yes, and that they take that decision then and take the consequences of what they do.
There is no consequences as such. Apart, once they check all the, dot all the I's, etc., and have their negative COVID test when they're leaving and coming back.
We're all told by the scientists, Niall, that you can assume that you have the virus until proven otherwise.
Well, if you're going away at the moment, you do prove otherwise because you must have a negative test to go and return. So if that's the case, what's the problem?
Well, the problem is, at the end of the day, that if they spread the virus and they're...
Let's be logical and reasonable about this. If you're going away on holidays, let's say tomorrow I want to head off to Cyprus. They have a low number of cases at the moment, okay? Per thousand, et cetera. We're lower than Ireland. So if I'm going to Cyprus and I get a negative test 72 hours before I leave, and I get a negative test as whatever the Cypriot government demand of me to come back again, I probably have to have another negative test before I leave there to come back to Ireland again. I don't have COVID-19. I'm going to a country that has less instance of COVID-19. I'd be safer there than I would be in Swords, where I live in Dublin. So realistically, what's the problem?
You have to come back from Cyprus. You have to obey the laws. You have to go to quarantine.
Do your quarantine and everything.
But
not with a negative test, you don't, by the way.
It's like signing a will. It's like signing a leave.
Once you do all the things that you're meant to do, you don't have to go into quarantine, by the way, if you have a negative test. But however.
The end of the day, if you are advised not to do something, whether it's legislation or not there, your conscience demands that you do it.
Why should I have a conscience? I haven't done anything wrong.
Why
are we being told we're doing something wrong when I actually have... Well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Robbie as well. Robbie, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Robbie?
Not bad, how are you?
Don't get me wrong. The government are advising people, and I want to reiterate that. The government, the advice is that you don't go away on holidays, right? But some people feel it necessary, and that's whatever their choice is. There's checks and balances there to have a negative COVID test, and wherever country you're going in, you have to go through their checks and balances when you're returning anyway. So, why is the problem?
Well, I suppose the thing is that is, as Gray said, it's all about the greater good, really. It's just people being asked to just kind of stick in with this for the time being until we pull through it. And that's what you're being asked, you know.
Yeah, but if like you're being asked to do something logical, you would say, well, okay. For example, if I told you tomorrow, listen, I want you to go around wearing a hat on your head because I think it'll help COVID, you'd say to me, that's a ridiculous notion. I'm not going to wear a hat on my head because it'll stop COVID, because that's not even true. So now at the moment, you're being asked to produce a negative test going, asked to produce a negative test coming back, and you're going to a country, say, for example, that has low number of cases, which is probably less incident than Ireland, you have less chance of catching it even than Ireland. So if that's the case, and by the way, I want people to stick to the travel advice and not go, but if they do, where's the problem? It's not illegal.
Well, 14...
No, it's not illegal.
Well, but hang on, Grace. Well, hang on, Grace. Let me just go back to say, Robbie, go ahead.
No, it's not illegal, but we're just asked not to do it. To be perfectly honest with you, why would you want to go away? Because I don't think there'll be anywhere open in any of the countries.
No, we'll be told
anyway,
not to do it.
You know?
Sorry, John?
Sorry, just to cut in there, I mean, we're being told not to do it. We're not being asked not to do it. We're being absolutely told by this government, NEPA and HSC and police, if you step out of line, we're going to fine you. So we're being told our liberal rights, our civil rights have been taken away and eroded away by this same government. And that is not constitutionally or legally binding.
Well, it is legally binding. There is the Health
it
Act.
Is legally binding.
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, we have every right to live our lives and say to government, you know what? You look after your hospitals. You look after your coronavirus bullshit you're going on with. But don't impose
it. It's not, in fairness, John, it's not bullshit.
It's not bullshit.
John, you can have your opinions, John, if you want, and that's fine. But let's not be saying things like it's bullshit. People have died from it, John. There are people who have died. We can argue about the restrictions, we can argue about the way we react to it, but let's not argue about the fact that it exists, because otherwise you sound like lunacy.
Let me put this piece, I mean, all of you there today. You have scientists there who agree, you have scientists, the same people on RT, the same people on everywhere saying the same thing, and then you have scientists out there, and you know what, guys? You have to live with this thing. It's not going to go away. And the restrictions...
Okay, absolutely. No. I'm not disagreeing with that aspect of it. There's different scientists from all over the world, and we should be having not a group think on it the way we currently have at the moment. I'm not disagreeing with that, John. But I don't think there's a sane scientist in the world who thinks that that the virus doesn't exist. Okay, so I think... Okay, let's go back on that. Okay, Robbie, I do agree with John on one point. That if everything is there, the government have already brought in a restriction. They've already argued in a high court in this country that it's not legally binding, that you can't force people, obviously, not to travel in its very nature. They've argued this at Ryanair. Let's say they won their case against Ryanair in court in October when Ryanair argued that it was against breach of various health acts, European Convention on Human Rights and the European Charter of Fundamental Rights. And the government stated, we're not stopping people from going, we're just advising them. But yet, if the Garda Síochána at Dublin Airport stopping people from going. So now all of a sudden it is legally binding.
Democratic rights.
Yes, just very quickly, Grace, very quickly, Grace.
Just to say that if John, any relatives or family of his have gotten sick or will get sick or will die or some way inflicted by this dreadful virus, would he change his mind?
No, because infection is out there all the time, and we have to go into a trap to it. And you're full of, you know.
No, please. Well. No, okay, let's.
I know, but she is full of.
Yes, sorry, because, Robbie. Robbie, very quickly.
Look at John. Everybody has an opinion on this. Not everybody. Yeah.
Hang on, one at a time. Let Robbie finish what he's saying, John, and let you respond.
People want to help, and people want to see the back of this. I want to go on holiday. I want to go over to points with a few mates. I want to go see matches in the stadiums. But at the moment, we can't, and that's what we just have to live with. I don't like it, but some of us here have got a bit of responsibility about it. Not all of us are against everything that ever happens in the world. Not all of us always want to be against everything that always happens. Sometimes we all have to pull together, and sometimes we don't agree with it. We're not happy. I'm not happy with it. I want to get on with my life, and the sooner the better we get on with my life, thankfully that will happen.
And with the greatest respect, Robbie, how long more, just before we win the break, have a think about this maybe, how long more are you willing to put up with, say, restrictions whereby you can't travel, where you can't go past 5K, where you can't go to the pub?
I suppose until they roll this vaccine out, after that, I kind of have to start thinking, saying, right, let's get on with it, you know, to be honest.
Okay, well, I've got to take a quick break. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. John is right. The government of the Gardaí are bullying people because their health laws can't override the Constitution. Well, there is part of the Constitution, by the way. that is covered under the Health Act, by the way. But there is questions being asked as to whether all of this is constitutional. But then again, I suppose it would take a test case in the High Court to find that out for good. Is Europe not one big continent where we're all one big happy family, or is that just when it suits them? COVID in Ireland, France, Holland, etc., 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 is still COVID. So what does it matter where I am, says Kevin in Limerick. He makes a good point, and there are many countries who have less incidence. Actually, Ireland, I think it was last week, we had the highest rate of COVID in the whole of Europe. So you are probably safer in any country apart from Ireland.
How you doing, Niall? Just listening to the topic there. You know, is a holiday important during the lockdown? I don't think so. Unnecessary travel, that's what they're saying, right? So I can understand the guards turning people home or whatever. But listen, Micheál Martin's going to be hopping on a plane to go to New York on Paddy's Day to meet Joe Biden with a big bowl of stupid shamrock. They should be leading by example. If he travels to America, they've no right to be telling the Irish citizens what to do. He was voted in, not by us, but by another party to run this country. And you lead by example. If he doesn't do that, don't tell the rest of us what to do. Thanks, Morris.
I couldn't agree with you more in relation to the bowl of shamrock. Although over the weekend, I heard people giving out that he was going home to Cork to his missus and his kids. I mean, why would you be giving out about that? He's a necessary worker. He's quite entitled to travel to see his family back and forward to get to work. I'm pretty sure most necessary workers in the country don't live 5 kilometres from their job. Most probably live more than 5 kilometres from their job. So it's a ridiculous notion that you can't go home to your own bloody family. There's nobody in the country doing that. Let me go to James. James, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, James?
How you doing, Niall?
James, you have a 5-year-old in England.
Yeah, now he lives over in England. And
Living with his mum, I assume, is it?
He is, living with his mum, yeah. Okay. And I normally see him once a month, but obviously with all the restrictions they're putting in place, it's getting harder and harder to see him. You know, he's only 5, and he doesn't understand. He keeps telling me he misses me. So
what's the procedure if you want to? I mean, there's no legal requirement to stop you from seeing him because it is covered under the guidelines of separated families, child access, all that kind of, under the guidelines.
Yeah. No, I'm aware of that, but with the new PCR test, I was due to go over in February, in middle of February, to see him and bring him back over for a while because it was coinciding with his midterm break over in school in England. So it was booked from the start of the year. Mm. And just with the PCR test, because of the 72 hours, you have to get it at least 24 hours before you fly.
Yeah.
And it was meant to fly over, pick him up on a Friday, bring him back on the Saturday. But then the flight was cancelled on Saturday, moved to the Sunday. So the 72-hour test would be up before I was due to fly back.
Oh,
so
God, that's a bit of a mess, yeah.
It's blocking me from going and getting
it. Right,
okay.
It must be very difficult for you, by the way, dealing with that situation. I know it's hard for people, you know, who are, you know, working far from home or have to see their kids far from home or separated families with access to children. That can be very difficult at the moment.
Yeah, and I've tried to be reasonable because I haven't seen him since last November because of this.
Oh, Scottish, that's awful.
It's just getting on now, you know.
Yeah. And I'm sure he misses you and you miss him equally as much. So it's a very difficult situation to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's tough.
Would it not be better, say, to come an arrangement? Is he in school, by the way, in the UK? Are the schools open in the UK at the moment? What's the story?
No, his school is closed. But as I said, this trip was booked from the start of the year. So he was in school and then the school closed.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, would it be possible, because he's probably learning from remotely anyway, and he could probably do his schooling from here. Would it be convenient at the moment, while the schools are closed, for you to take him for a month and then your missus to take him for a month? I don't know whether that kind of arrangement could be made.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be a problem, yeah, but the problem is that with the PCR test, see, that it's because they're only running, you know, the odd flight during the week.
Right.
So I've tried to see if I could source a PCR test over in London when I landed, but if I got a PCR test on the Friday when I landed, I wouldn't get the results on Monday because they don't give out the results over the weekend.
Are there not places that do them privately at the airport?
There is.
They're expensive now,
I mean, it's like £89 if you're actually flying. So
yeah, and they give it to you, they give you the test within 8 or 9 hours.
They do, but I'd be landing on the Friday midday kind of thing, and if I got the test Friday, it says if you get the test on a Friday, you won't have the results on Monday.
That's not much use to anybody, is it?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of. And the only alternative to that is if I was prepared to travel into the centre of London to get a test in there, and they'd have the result out here. But sure, then I wasn't planning on leaving the grounds of the airport. I was going
to
stay in.
Well, of course, that would be the most logical thing to do. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, look. I wish you well. That's terrible, James. I'm really sorry. That's a really awkward situation. Now, I hope you get to see your son soon, and I hope you get to bring him over or whatever way it works out between you and your missus in the UK. It's a very difficult situation for a lot of people, particularly in relationships and what have you. Donald, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Donald?
How are you doing, Niall?
Is it irresponsible to head off? Spain. Hey, viva España.
No, it is not. The first thing, you're safe for another more countries now than you are in Ireland anyway. That's probably. Because of the incompetence of this government. And it's not down to the COVID, all the COVID. A lot of it is incompetence. But, Niall, I went up to Dublin Airport 2 weeks ago on a coach to pick up one person, a French person.
Right.
And all the information I had in my email was that she was got this PCR check and everything else like that. No matter.
Yeah.
So I picked up the person to get into the coach, and while I was travelling down the country, a good bit down the country, I had to come with this person. And I just asked her, were you asked for this PCR check? No, she came in Aer Lingus flight from Charles de Gaulle. She wasn't asked for it in Charles de Gaulle. She wasn't asked for it in Dublin Airport.
When was it? What day was this?
This was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago. Okay.
All 2 weeks ago. And when I got to the location, five members of the family that was picking up this young lady, she hugged every single one of them. Because I got out of the bus to open the boot for her suitcase and that. And she hugged every single one of them.
Right.
Now, I can only assume if she hugged them all, she's not going into self-isolation.
No, she's not going to self-isolation.
No. And the other thing, now, the guards are stopping people going into Dublin Airport. They were stopping them when I was there 2 weeks ago as well. But what they'll say to you is, we're stopping you for being outside your 5K. We're not stopping
you. That's kind of discrimination against people who don't live in Swords.
yes, but this is what they'll get away with. I mean, they'll get the majority of them, won't they? Because the majority don't live in Swords. But this is what they'll say now. So, you mean, I know what you're saying, and I know what you're on about, but you're onto a losing thing, because this is the crap that they'll come out with.
But I did hear over the weekend now, and I don't know how true it is, and I want someone to verify it, that they were turning people around. That they were basically that. Now, I don't know if there was a situation, hypothetically, of a family, you know, with suitcases in the boot off to Spain, where they were literally not letting them get into the airport and go on holidays. I don't know if that was the case, but they were certainly finding them.
I did witness guards talking to passengers in taxis.
Yeah, well, I spoke to a taxi driver yesterday and he told me that. He said they were stopping taxis.
I say this to your sector and I say it to you once more. If the government are convinced that they're 100% right and all this and everything else like that, why in the name of God would I like you? Why is it TV3 and RTE getting away with throwing out this propaganda every single night of the week?
Well, I can tell you what. If I was Ryanair now, I know Ryanair took a high court case against the state back in October. They lost the case based on the fact the state said that they were only advising people and it wasn't binding in nature. If I was RTE or Ryanair's barristers, I'd be strongly thinking about, although they may not be stopping people from going to the airport, the threat of getting a large fine, for example, for you and the family, because they can fine everybody in the car, is enough to basically say that it is legally binding, that they're not allowed. It's now a threat of legal action against you if you travel.
I have no doubt. The only reason to check fines are at Dublin Airport is to stop people travelling.
Of course,
But now, because the government are losing the battle on this lockdown, it's not working. People aren't paying it.
I think it's unfair to say people aren't paying attention. I think the vast majority of people are being as responsible as they reasonably can.
Yeah, but people are waking up now. People are finally copping on. Listen, why are we only hearing one side of the story every single night of the week?
And finally, the other thing in relation to it, the lockdown doesn't seem to be making any difference to the numbers of cases. Now, I know people are going to say to me, well, the numbers went down last night. That's only because they're not testing close contacts. When they go back to testing close contacts again, they'll go back up again.
It was over the weekend as well. But
okay, but listen, I have to go to break. Donal, lovely talking again. I'm sorry rushing you.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.